Good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here for worship this morning. I ask you to take your Bibles. We're going to be looking at the book of Colossians today, and I'm glad that you're here as we start this new series for the month of November, rooted in gratitude. I'm looking forward to see what God is going to do in this because he's working it into me, and therefore, I don't want to take this journey alone. I want to take you with me as we go through this, and I hope that you will feel the depth of challenge that I'm already feeling in my life as God is just working this in me. I want to talk about the power of thankfulness as we start this month. The whole month is going to be about this and really about having hearts of gratitude. So look, if you will, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. It might be just a little bit different from something that you're reading. Normally, I read from the New American Standard. People often wonder, what's the version you use? New American Standard is just the basic one that I hold to. I like it. It's very reliable. It's a very literal translation of the word. I like the New Living Translation. It's great for devotional reading. It is a translation, and I think that you'd do well even to have one of those. So I want to read from that. And Paul writes, and he says, just as you accepted Christ, Jesus, as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots go down into him and draw up nourishment from him. Interesting concept, isn't it? Maybe you never thought about having roots in your life, but God says that that is a principle, it's a truth that God is wanting to put into me. Now, I was really stirred about this whole message when I read this letter that a pastor received. Let me just share it with you because I think it's probably representative of maybe even some of us here this morning. Said, Pastor, I am so tired of going through the motions. Nothing really excites me or energizes me anymore. I've been in a slump for so long now. I don't know if I can get out of it. I tend to focus on what's wrong. And I can be cynical about everything. The bad news is, I take out my frustrations on the people I love the most. Isn't that the truth? My family. Pastor, I need a major change in my life. Maybe that's you. I certainly know that from time to time that can be me. That I need some major changes. God's still working on me, and I'm believing he's working on you as well. I think one of the hottest shows right now on television is AMC's The Walking Dead. Not that I recommend it. I'm just stating a fact. From the parts I have watched of it, but anyway, I think the reality is that if you have any kind of knowledge about that show, you can kind of carry it over that there is an extent to which that a lot of church people are like spiritual zombies. And what I mean by that there are a lot of people in church, you come week in and week out, and bottom line, you're just going through the motions. Yeah, you show up. Yeah, you're here. You give your tithe. You read your daily Bible reading. But your spiritual life is flatlined. You're kind of like dead men walking, if you will. There's just no life. And maybe you thought this week, because I think this is true, that maybe you're saying, I hope that 2016 restores my joy, that I can just get some spiritual energy, my drive for God like I once had. I want you to look in your life point outline. I want you to look at the first insight that I'd just like to put in front of you this morning. And from this, it is this. A different tomorrow comes through intentionality. Whatever we're going to accomplish in this world, very little of it, if any of it, is going to happen by chance. Just willy-nilly, if you will. It's a favorite term of mine. The staff has asked me to define that. And I say, I don't have to define it. It's just a good word. And I think it translates. What I'm simply saying is 2016 is not going to be any different from 2015 if my walk and your walk with Jesus doesn't change. If it stays the same. If you just hold what you're doing, then you'll have a repeat of what you just went through. Here's what our text says. Just go back to the text. As you accepted Christ, continue on with him. So here's the insight. If you are a spiritual zombie, it is because your faith roots, which Paul says we have, are shallow. And the level of my living, you might want to write this down. This is fresh. I got this morning. But it's really just, it is what it is. The level of our living is equal to the depth of our roots into the faith that we have in Christ, the love that we understand that he has for us, how incredibly God loves you and me and is committed to us, and how my faith in the hope he gives me of a good future. Now, your level of living depends. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. I want you to listen to Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 18. Now, just listen to what Paul said. He said, may your roots, there it is again, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life. And what God is not talking about, it's not that I'm just talking about a head knowledge. You can just kind of repeat that verse. But I'm talking about this gut level experience that you know what it feels like to live in a day where you know that you are unconditionally loved by God, and that regardless of what is happening in your life, I know God loves me. And regardless of what I'm going through, God has a plan for me. And regardless of how I feel, God is working out that plan, even in the midst of what I'm going through. You see, that's what Jesus Christ died for. That's what God came to give us in a relationship with him. He came to give us purpose. He came to give us hope. He came to give us this sense that every day of our life, regardless, we are loved. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So here's the insight. Our life problems come because we don't have spiritual roots. How do you know if your roots are shallow? How do you know if you're not going really deep into the Lord? If your life is habitually plagued, if I'm habitually plagued by worry, fear, anxiety, stress, resentment, bitterness, that's a rootless life. I wonder what that means. I don't like being called shallow. Anybody here like being called shallow? I don't like being called shallow. But let me tell you something. If the majority of my life is lived with resentment and bitterness and lack of joy and stress and worry, I am shallow. And so are you. You're shallow. You are shallow spiritually. Matthew 13, verse 21. Jesus explains the result of a rootless life. Since they don't have deep roots, there it is again, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Listen, if you are feeling like this morning, you know what? I am ready to just throw in the proverbial towel. All it's going to take is for somebody to just say something wrong to me, and I may go off on them. You know what I'm saying? And maybe you are right there. And that just simply means that the reality is you're not grounded. You're not rooted in God's unconditional love for you. You know what that means? That means God's unconditional love for you means whatever is happening in your life, God's got a plan. And it has come into my life and your life because God either sent it directly or permitted it. Either way, nothing can touch you if you belong to him that's not going to work out to his ultimate plan for your life. Is that not good news? And we just need to kind of revisit that. Jesus says that there are a lot of people, when he says they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. You know what he's saying? Jesus is talking about us. He said there are so many people who start off well in life, and then they blow it. You know why they blow it? Because they're shallow.
They go off on somebody. They say things they shouldn't say. They do things that they shouldn't do. They blow it. They lose their joy. They become spiritual zombies because they don't have spiritual roots. And here's the truth in reality. And this is the truth. It's not insight. This is reality. Way too many professing Christians live by their feelings rather than their faith. And that's what I've got to think about. That's what God is wanting to work into me. It's like, John, are you still like a man who doesn't know me, that your life is controlled by how you feel? You respond to your wife by how you feel. You respond to other people by how you feel. You don't respond according to faith and what you know to be truth in the Word of God. If there's somebody here that is feeling like giving up on your marriage, giving up on a dream, giving up getting married, having a baby, seeing that wayward child come home, getting a job that's going to take care of you and your family. If our habit is to wilt and wither spiritually when a difficulty comes, when a trial comes, when trouble comes. If there's somebody here this morning and your habit is you're in church one Sunday and out four, you're in worship one Sunday and out six, you have a root problem. You're shallow. It's not a healthy thing. I want you to listen to Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who have trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Now listen to what he said. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Those trees are not bothered by the heat trials or worried by long months of drought, long drawn out difficulties. Their leaves stay green. They go right on producing delicious fruit. Now, you bring that into New Testament. What's he talking about? He's talking about producing the fruit of the Spirit. It's Galatians 5:22. It's what's coming out of you and me today? What's coming out of our church in the midst of a crazy world? God said, what's going on in the world should have no effect on you. What's going on in the world should have no effect on us. Huh? Why? He said, if you are rooted in me, you are like a tree on the riverbank of a full stream. Your roots go down and they hit the tap water. It doesn't matter if there is a drought everywhere. There is a river that always flows. There is a God who never quits. There is a Savior who never stops. There is a Lord who is always faithful. There is a river, beloved, that never dries up. And so, if there's no love out of me, if there's no joy out of me, if there's no peace out of me, no gentleness out of me, then what that means is I am shallow. And in 2016, God's desire is that you and I would exhibit more self-control when we're pressured. Been pressured lately? God help. That you would have more joy in difficulties. Doesn't mean that you deny it and act like it doesn't exist. It just simply means it doesn't overwhelm you. It doesn't put you in the mully grubs to where you just simply lose all of your joy. That you have peace in uncertain times. How do you get there? You sink your roots. And I want you to, what does that mean? Because when I look down, I just see feet and toes. I'm not seeing roots here, preacher. You know, just kind of bring this home to me. You know, you're not talking to a bunch of trees here. All right, great. Thank you. I'll do that. Sinking your roots And I bring it down to where I am. It means that I live by the principle of taking my thoughts captive. Why? Because the Bible says, as a man, what in his heart? Thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, that's what the Lord is saying. God is saying, I want you to stand on what is true. Sinking my roots means that I am living, I live my day, not based on what I see, not based on what I feel, but I live my day based upon what God has said in the Word, regardless of how I feel. I cannot live the Christian life by my feelings. Lord, have mercy. My feelings come and go. How about you? It's like a roller coaster with all the loops and ups and the downs. I cannot control my emotions. They are what they are. But faith in the established Word of God never changes. Listen, God says, I don't speak out of both sides of my mouth. And that is why he has given us the Word. He is simply saying, the Word shall stand. And what I have said, I will do. I will be faithful to what I said. You want the number one problem? Oh, well, let me give you this, because this is, here's the truth in your outline. No root, no fruit. Okay, that's it right there. So the number one problem in our country is rootless people. There are generations of people in America without spiritual roots. That's why we are living in a country right now that gets angry easily. That's why there are people shooting police officers. That's why there are rioting in the street and kids fighting parents. People shooting people, people divorcing on a whim, people in and out of therapy, people trying to learn how to handle life, living super medicated lives. Why are people doing that? They're doing that because they don't have any roots. They don't have any root into their Creator. So here, look in your outline. The number one feature of being rooted in God is constant gratitude. Everything I've just said is introduction. So number one, what biblical gratitude is? What is that? Well, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about gratitude that's going to come up in about 3 weeks when you're sitting around that bodacious Thanksgiving table and you say, Lord, we thank you today for this bountiful whatever on this table. Thank you that we're healthy. Thank you that everybody is here. Beloved, an atheist can say that. Huh? I mean, really, that is not biblical gratitude. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, don't go to the table and just dive in like a hog or a dog. You're better than that, right? Huh? Give God thanks. You do pray at Thanksgiving, don't you? Somebody say yes. Oh, thank you. I know, Lord, I've got my work cut out. Woo. All right. So what is biblical gratitude? Well, number one, I give thanks in all things. That's biblical gratitude. I don't give thanks for everything, but I give thanks in everything. All right. I don't give God thanks for having cancer. I don't give God let me tell you where I've been. I don't give God thanks for having ulcers. I've had that. I don't give God thanks for having kidney stones. I would not wish that on the person I hated most in the world. That is absolutely, well, it won't chase that rabbit. It's painful. You don't give God thanks for losing a job. You don't give God thanks for the death of a loved one. Rather, we give God thanks in the midst of all of that. You see, that's what he's saying. And the word, the Greek word here for in is the word pos, and it means giving thanks in everything, giving thanks all the time, giving thanks everywhere, giving thanks without exception. Do you mean whatever I'm going through, in the midst of all that, I'm supposed to give thanks? Yes, that's what the word says. And you do that. I mean, how do you do that? Well, I've given you some examples, all right? You give it because, number one, you know that God is in control. That's Psalm 115:3. Our God is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he pleased. Now, you wonder, why am I going through what I'm going through? God is pleased to permit it or to send it. That's why you're going through it. And the day we bowed the knee to him and made him Lord of our lives, we said, God, whatever. You know, that it takes to make me look like Jesus. And that's what God's doing. He's in control. Number two, he will bring good to me in any situation. That's Romans 8, 28. We know that God works all things together for the good to them that love him. Aren't you glad? I am. I'm glad for that. That's his promise. And number three, my life events are by his permission or direction, which is what I've said in a number of different ways, but I just wanted to state it. And I think that's Exodus 4:11. The Lord said, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God either sends it directly or permits it. I mean, ultimately. And then four, even my grievous mistakes, God can turn around. You know, my mess-ups, my goof-ups, God said, put your roots down in me because I can even take your mess-ups and make them bring good to you out of it. And then the next one, I can't lose his salvation. That's John 10 and 10. I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall sometimes perish. I'm going to lose some of them. No, God said, I don't ever lose a sheep. I never lose one. I am the shepherd. Are you telling me when you get to heaven, you're going to say, well, Lord, you know, there are about 800,000, maybe 4 or 5 million through the generations that you were not able to hang on to. God said, oh, really? Well, tell me what their names are because I don't know any. I don't lose my sheep. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Huh? God didn't lose sheep. Now, they're sheep that don't stay in the fold. But he said, if they leave, it's because they never were mine. He said, if you leave me, you never did belong to me. And so the fact that you left just shows you didn't belong. So, and lastly, no matter what, God won't stop loving me. Hebrews 13 and 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid. So I give thanks in everything. And then number two, I give thanks because it's his will. I mean, there's the truth. God's will is for you to give thanks to heaven in the midst of every circumstance of your life. That you just give thanks to him. So here, listen, I know there's some of you maybe here this morning, more in the next two services, but there's some of you maybe wanting to know if you are ever going to get married. I mean, there are those who are wanting that. Some of you are probably thinking, and why would they want to do that? Don't think like that. You know, they want to know, God, am I ever going to get married? You remember before you got married, you said, Lord, I know Jesus is coming, but don't come until I get married. You didn't think that. Well, anyway, I did. I just didn't want to go to heaven not having had the joy of getting married. Call me shallow. I don't care. You know, do you want to know if you're going to get married? Do you want to know? God, I don't know. Do I need to move? Should I move? Should I leave this job? Should I take that job? Should I start school? Should I get another education, another degree? Listen, here's the reality. All of those things are twos, threes, fours, and fives. You know what number one is? In all things, give thanks. Now, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you start giving thanks to him in all things, that's number one, then all those other things start to work out. So this is number one. That's why I started here. This is number one, the spirit of gratitude toward the Father. And then number two, second, reasons for gratitude. Why should I give gratitude to God? Well, number one, because it honors him. Now, we should give thanks to God at Thanksgiving for our food and for protection and for health. But listen, if that's the only reason that I give thanks to God, that just makes me an opportunist. God, I'm so glad I know you because, like, man, you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I want to be close to somebody who's well healed. And God, you are. And I'm just so glad I have you and you're in my life because you take this. That's so opportunistic. You know, just I like it for you for what you get out of it. Real gratitude is when I thank God for who he is. And I thought about that. You know, and I've tried to change my praying even more so and more intensely. But here the last few days, I've just said, Father, I want to thank you for being faithful even when I wasn't. For always doing what's best for me, even when I didn't think that's what the best was. You know, because there's times God's done some things in life, it kind of chafed me. You know what I'm saying? But then I found out that was really the best thing. That's the only thing God does. And I thank him for showing mercy when I didn't deserve it. But then, so I show gratitude, not only because it honors him, but because it develops my faith. You see, gratitude to God rises. If I have biblical gratitude, I give that to him even when I'm going through a difficult time. Even when I am in the midst of darkness. You know, it's like in I think it's Isaiah, that when you pass through times of darkness and you cannot see, that you trust him even when you can't see. You give thanks when it doesn't make sense, when what's going on in your life cannot be explained, and you're in the midst of unanswered prayers. How do I do that? How do I give God thanks when I'm in the darkness? I do it because of my faith, not in what I feel, but on the basis of who he is. It's like, Lord, in the midst of all this, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm going to go right or the left. God, I don't understand why I'm being attacked. I don't understand why I'm being fired. I don't understand why we can't get pregnant. I don't understand why I can't find a wife, why I can't find a husband. I don't understand why a child that I raised to know you has wandered away. I don't understand all this. I don't understand how I went wrong when I tried to do everything right. You see, when I look at all of that, that keeps me. But when I want to give thanks, I say, Lord, I know that in the midst of everything that I don't know, Father, I know that you are watching and you are in control of my life. And one of the things I know is I know you love me. And I know you have promised that you can bring good to my family out of all of this that we're going through, because you have promised that you will. And I'm not thankful for the situation. I'm not thankful I got fired. I'm not thankful that my kid is gone. I'm not thankful for this disease that I have. I'm not thankful for this physical affliction. But I am thankful that in the midst of all of this, that you are bigger than my present problem. And where a door closes in my face, you are able to open a door when nobody else can. And I don't thank you. I don't thank you for what I'm going through. But I'm thankful that I'm not alone. And that you've got my back. And that you watch over me. And that I'm where I am today in life because you have taken care of me. When life is caving in, we have a God this Thanksgiving season who forgives us like that when we admit we have strayed. Do you know how hard it is to get some people in your life that you have offended to forgive you? Huh? An offended brother is as difficult to get to as a window with bars. There are some people who just won't forgive. No matter how much you cry, no matter how much you ask, aren't you glad God is not that way? He comes to our aid. God doesn't hold grudges. Aren't you glad God doesn't? That you don't wake up on Monday with a God who's just mad. That he is a God who is able to open closed doors. And if you're in a hard time this Thanksgiving season, God is waiting on you to lift up to him a heart of gratitude. That God, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know you will be faithful, and you will see me through this time, and you will put me in your way, and you will bring me through all of this. I am not on my own. I am not by myself. You have not abandoned me. I am not an orphan. Aren't you glad? Give God a hand clap of praise this morning, will you? God is good. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. You're a great God, and I give gratitude to him. Because it witnesses to unbelievers. And here's the insight Your attitude of gratitude makes God look good to people who don't know him. They're like, wow, that's the way God is. Philippians 2 and 14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Now, I know you probably think you understand what that means, but the reality is there are so many people who make so many mistakes in biblical interpretation, just taking the word and making it say something it doesn't say. So let me tell you what Philippians 2:14 means when it says do everything without complaining or arguing. It means do everything without complaining or arguing. That's what it means. Seriously. I mean, it means what it says, especially in front of lost people who don't know the Lord. In a crooked and depraved generation that you and I live in today, cynical, sarcastic, critical, refusing to be a complainer at work, in the gym, wherever you go, refusing to be a complainer. Can you imagine what that would do to people around you? They're like, who are you? I've just kind of noticed you're just not a complainer. So here's the invitation. Land in the plane. This week, actually, for the whole month, let me give you a month assignment, okay? And we get in the habit of this as we get into the end of the Christmas season. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge our fellowship. I'm going to do this in all three services. That this week, every day, each of us will express gratitude to five people during the day. It's not really that hard to do. There's so many things you can be grateful for. You know, just thank you. I thought about it. Thank you for the way that you did that. You know, I want to thank you for the way that you helped me. Thank you for your attitude. Thank you for, you know, I'm just grateful for the person that you are, how you are. I appreciate your attitude. Just so many ways. Just five people each day. So that's like 35 people for the week. You know, if we're going to, on average, we're going to have 1,000 people here this morning in the three services. That's going to be 35,000 potential acts of gratitude. This week, every week, that's over 140,000 acts of gratitude for the month. Can you imagine what that would do to Lufkin? I mean, just bless Lufkin with gratitude. Just being thankful. You know, I appreciate that. And I can do that because I know that God is working his work in me. And so it could change the way people think about how they think about this church and about you and me. So just five acts of gratitude every day. Just kind of write that down, make a note of that, and let's challenge that. Now, one last encouragement, and then I'm going to close. And Mark 11:24. Jesus said, answered prayer is based on faith. He said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you'll receive it, if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. Now, here's the insight in your outline. Thanking God after receiving something is gratitude. Thanking God before you receive it is faith. If you have a wandering child, you want to get married, then you pray for them. If you want to get married, you pray for a partner. You pray for your child, but you don't whine. You don't whine for a partner. You don't whine listen, you're wanting a partner. You say, oh God, I need a wife, you know, half alive, almost dead. I don't care. You know, that's whining. It's like, I'm desperate. God, I'm desperate. Do you see my situation? That's desperation. That's whining. God doesn't answer whinings. I just don't see that in Scripture. So here's the key. Ask God once, and then keep thanking him until it comes. God heard us the first time. Don't badger him. Don't whine. But you keep thanking him. God, You know what I prayed to you about my child. You know what I prayed to you about my desire to be married. You, God, you know, and I don't know when, I don't know how, but God, I want to thank you that you're in total control, and God, you're only going to do what's good. And I just want to bless you. I want to thank you, Father. You are working your work in my life. And God simply says, that's how answered prayer comes. That you give him thanks. And then God's gift and his blessing is on the way. So I want us to bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask you, this invitational time is really going to be just for you to do something right where you are. With heads bowed and eyes closed. If this morning God has just spoken to your heart, like he's been working on me, and that you have not bore a spirit of gratitude to him, to be thankful for the things that God has already given you, for the things that he is doing, you have lost your joy. You're not as close to him as you used to be. And you just realize this truth that you're shallow. You're shallow. You're deep in feeling. You're shallow in standing on the truth. You're controlled by your emotions rather than your faith. Your faith in the love and the care and the faithfulness of God. And so this morning, I want to ask you to let me pray for you and for myself as well. And I'm serious about that. But if this is you, I want you just to quietly and reverently just stand where you are, that you're just saying, God, I want to be better at this thing of gratitude to you. I have been walking like a spiritual zombie. I have not been walking in the knowledge of what is real and what is true and what you've said in your word. And I want to begin today, for this month, God, I want to begin this practice, this habit of just living in gratitude to you, that you're watching over my life. I want you just to stand wherever you are, quietly, reverently, just stand before him along with me. All right.